smooth adjustment, but easy on the curves.
Not a glitch, Dad. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
Obscure Disney Podcast.
Brought to you by JJ's Incredible Cookie Company, the perfect treat for your dimension-jumping child.
To all who have come to this podcast, welcome. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Ryan.
And with new episodes coming out every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass to this podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast? Simply search for Obscure Disney Podcast or go to obscuredisneypodcast.com.
The basic takeaway from that is Obscure Disney podcast. We've said it like 80 times. Just beat you in the face with it.
That's probably about the only time that I'll say it that many times. I don't think we even mentioned that for the first part, right?
No.
Just at the beginning?
Maybe we need to. That's bad branding on our part.
Continue to go, well, here at the Obscure Disney.
We own the intellectual property, so maybe we should say it more often.
Ooh. It's our first IP.
You what now?
When we first decided we were going to start talking about IPs, I thought the same thing. Oh, I have an IP address. Is that what we're talking about?
It is not.
That's not what we're talking
about. Wrong.
And I'm not going to the bathroom.
You're not going to the bathroom.
Because that's what you thought about.
That was my first thought when I'm like, IP.
So let's tell everybody what an IP is.
IP is just short for intellectual property, means like a concept or an idea that's owned by a company.
Okay.
And I don't think anyone owns more IPs than Disney.
They literally invented the idea, did they not?
Did they?
I'm going to go with yes.
Oh, all right.
They basically were, you know, actually, because there has been a lot of that about talking about copyright. They literally, Disney has changed copyright laws.
They've altered copyright right laws, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because in a traditional world, Mickey would have already been in public domain by now.
Right.
But because of the rules that they have changed, it now means that
the company owns copyright.
It, so they'll own it forever.
Forever.
All right. But Universal probably doesn't mind that Disney came up with the IP idea.
It's true. Because they've benefited from that also.
Oh, most certainly they have.
Right.
You know that they're happy about that. But do you, you and I have talked about this a little bit. Do you think we're in IP overload now? In an IP world that we live in?
This is the danger that comes with branding everything with your own personal IPs, specifically in the Disney park. If you reconfigure every attraction to be around an IP, there's no more originality in the parks anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And originally this came up because I said, oh, we could talk about pirates, mm-hmm. because it's one of the few things that is only, well, for a while, was only found in the parks. The characters, the concept, all that kind of, the mood and attitude was only in the park until they started making movies, obviously, off of the ride.
Yeah.
But there are very few attractions in the parks that aren't now linked to some sort of intellectual property that Disney owns.
Right. Yeah, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said basically that's how you know it's the death knell of something. If it's not linked with something else, either by if it's a ride not tied in with a movie or a movie not tied in with a ride or products that aren't supporting both, you know that it's pretty much going to be changing shortly.
Mm.
So then there's a lot about like the Rock and Roller Coaster down that's all built around Aerosmith, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's an intellectual property in which Disney doesn't own, doesn't control, doesn't get to manipulate in their fantastic Disney way.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of concern that ride's no longer going to exist because, you know, and that's the problem that they had with Tower of Terror at California Adventure as well, right? Like it was built around a property that they didn't fully control. And so, like, what's the fun in that?
Well, and it was already based on a property also. What I'm missing in the parks these days is them coming up with a ride that has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
And they get to create characters and they get to create a storyline. The downside to using something that everyone already knows about is that there are no surprises in that sort of attraction.
Yeah.
So when they made the Frozen Dark ride in Epcot, they took out a ride out of the Norway Pavilion and made it all into Frozen.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Frozen's a huge moneymaker. Lots of people like Frozen.
Yeah. How could you not have that in the parks?
True. I mean, I don't think that Epcot is the right place for a dark ride like that.
Yeah.
But
I think you're not alone on that
I know.
Most people would agree.
But they've taken a story that everyone knows now, and instead of having an attraction that doesn't have a predictable storyline or readily recognizable characters, I think they're losing out on a bit of the imagination and creation that went into Disney parks originally.
Right, because if you go back to the original parks in 1955, Fantasyland was built around their storylines, the movies that they had created. But everything else wasn't, right? Like Tomorrowland and everything, all those other rides were all just basically Walt's ideas. They were things that Walt came up with and wanted to enjoy, but not at all tied in with movies. And now it's evolved into such a way that all of them support the movie.
Right.
I guess we don't have a Space Mountain, do we?
A movie Space Mountain?
Right.
I don't think so. They had a Tomorrowland movie.
If they start messing with Space Mountain, they are going to be some heads rolling by all of the Disney community.
You've been happy when they put Star Wars over the Space Mountain.
That is so true.
So
that, Hyperspace Mountain overlay. Mm-hmm. Now that is an amazing experience. That is true.
But going back to Disney wanting things in the park, when Disney said, I want to do a haunted attraction in Disneyland, they even originally pitched him to have IPs in there. They wanted to do the Three Lonely Ghosts, which is kind of an obscure reference now, but back then it was one of their cartoons that they did. They had three ghost brother things.
Okay.
And they
first time ever hearing of this.
See, there you go. And they strayed away from that and came up with a completely different story. Yeah. You know, same thing with Pirates. They had...
Is that their origin story behind the ghost then?
What's that?
The one that you just mentioned, the three stories that they had originally, like that was the origin story of that ride?
That's what originally they were pitching
Disney.
When he said, I want to do a haunted attraction, they're like, we could do it around the Lonely Ghosts and we could do it this way. And that was
something they had already created beforehand. Mm-hmm,
right.
Okay.
Or they said, oh, we could do it around Ichabod Crane, you know, because he has a run-in with a ghost or whatever. And instead of going with that, they decided to create something new.
Okay.
Same thing with Jungle Cruise. Yeah. Same thing with Pirates. You know, they made these stories up and created new characters. And I think it gave them a freedom that they don't have when they're tied to a very specific type of film or other intellectual property that they're trying to capitalize on.
You know that they probably are missing the freedom as well, right? All the Imagineers over there.
I would think so. I mean, there are certain times when the restrictions make you be more creative.
Right.
When they say, make a Frozen ride out of this Norway Pavilion ride, it could be fun to be like, okay, what can we do to change things up and make it different?
Right.
But if they said to them,
community theaters is like, you have no money, no space, go.
Yeah. You want to do this massive Broadway style musical, but you have the room of someone's living room and three spotlights. Figure it out.
Box.
Yeah. And it forces you to be creative.
That's true.
But I feel like we were just watching a video the other day on YouTube about was it Shanghai Disney?
Yeah.
What is it called? The Magic Mansion? I can't remember off
Mystic
the top.
Manor?
Mystic Manor. There you go. And it's created completely off of a different character that they have created. And I think that's fun. It's fun to go into a ride and not know what's going to happen. And in the world of the internet today, you pretty much know everything before you go if you want to.
If you want to. You actually have to work very hard at not knowing.
Oh.
I think, right?
No spoilers, huh?
It's pretty difficult in today's world.
But then if you have a ride that you literally say, this has nothing to do with another Disney movie, come in here and find out what it is, then you get to be like, oh, I have no idea what we're about to run into.
Right.
Whereas the Frozen ride, like I said, you walk in there, you say, I'm going to see Olaf, I'm going to see Kristoff and Sven and Elsa and Anna, and they're going to sing the songs, you know, there'll probably be some snow imagery, you know, that kind of stuff.
It's pretty predictable nowadays.
It's very predictable.
Right.
And I feel like we've moved so far away from being fun and creative in the parks in lieu, you know, instead going the safe route and saying, well, we know everyone loves this. We know everyone loves Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
So when we put this new ride into Epcot again, let's base it around Guardians of the Galaxy instead of branching out and saying, hey, let's create an entirely new story for this attraction.
Yeah. On the other hand, though, it is interesting that, so like Haunted Mansion, they had a movie that they did about that with Eddie Murphy that I've seen around, kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't good.
It was not great.
It was not good. And they're so now they're working on redoing it yet again, and hopefully by now they're going to do it better.
They've been talking about it for a while. I don't know what level of production it's actually in.
Because that could be amazing.
It would be. They had, originally, a while ago, they had Guillermo del Toro. I'm so bad at pronouncing his name. Guillermo del Toro was on to produce, and he's produced some scary things like Pan's Labyrinth and the Hellboy movies and things. He has a very specific look that a lot of people were really excited about, but I haven't heard anything about it in a long time. So it may just be another one of those
wishes.
Blue sky kind of things where they're like, if you could have anybody, you know.
Yeah, and if you look at also Jungle Cruise that's going to be coming out, that, you know, in some way they do run a risk that if they don't do it right, they're potentially ruining a ride that's been a staple in the park for such a long time.
Right, you know, or just putting a black mark on the record.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people these days that say, that movie ruined my childhood. It's like, well, it didn't really. You know, if you didn't like the new Ghostbusters movies, the original two are still there. So unless they went back in time and stabbed you as a kid, I think you're fine.
Right.
You know, so the new Jungle Cruise movie that's coming out could potentially be super fun. I have no idea. I've not seen any spoilers or synopsises.
But it has Emily White. What's her name?
Emily Blunt.
Oh my gosh, how much we love her.
And she's going to be Mary Poppins too. Oh, Disney's just got her in their claws, don't they?
She is the new Julie Andrews.
Oh!
Signing up for... I mean, I'm sorry, hold on. I don't mean it that way.
That was a bold statement here on Obscure Disney Podcast. Check us out at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
No, send that one directly to Disney. Don't tell them about us.
Oh, okay.
No, but the fact that, like, Julie Andrews is so, like, woven in with the Disney culture that, you know, go for it. Take Emily Blunt.
She seems like a perfect choice to play that character, too.
Well, yeah.
She should be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know.
But I feel like Disney makes enough money and has enough space that they could take a few chances by creating something new and different.
Yeah.
And wouldn't be as much risk as a smaller company trying to do the same thing.
I wonder if that's true.
Do you think it's not true?
I don't know if it is.
They make so much money. How could they not? I'll
have to research that a little bit and find out. Because if they make a flop, and they make a flop on a Disney scale, and you look at how much they have writing on the line all the time, I'm always fascinated by the background of Disney's business and all the competition that goes on between them and Xfinity, which is basically, or I'm sorry, Comcast, you know, owns the Universal and so forth. Like, you look at the competition that goes on behind the scenes of that, and it is an ugly world.
Ooh.
So I'm just curious, you know, if they actually could.
Well, and they've tried some things that and have failed, and that's just part of a creative process.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything you do is going to be amazing. And I understand on the scale, it's harder to justify a flop.
Yeah.
But you look at, we've talked about in the past, Superstar Limo.
Yeah.
That went in. It was, they had an original concept. They had to take it down from that original concept, and then it got compromised until it just wasn't anything fun anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they did open it and it wasn't popular, and then they reworked it.
Right.
It's a lot of work to get to a successful ride, I'd agree.
Mm-hmm.
But these days, their ride creators are so well-versed in knowing what they need to do.
Yeah.
That really just comes down to creating an interesting enough story to justify your ride at this point. You know, a lot of their dark rides now are trackless.
Oh,
and,
that is true.
You know, they have a lot of projections and very high-end animatronics.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could do amazing things, such as that Mystic Manor ride. If you've seen footage of it, it's incredible.
Truly, yeah.
All based around something that's not a movie. And that's really, I guess really what I'm saying is that I don't want every movie to have a ride.
But you know, as soon as they invent a new ride and put it in a park and it becomes amazing, they're going to do a movie about it.
Well,
so like, this energy that goes on between the three, between product placement, or you know, the about their merchandise sales and rides and movies, like it's pretty intertwined.
Yeah. So
to keep them separate in the future.
But I feel like the parks deserve a little bit more creativity, yeah. A little bit more space to be creative and to be able to say, we're making this ride and we're making it about something completely other than what we've already done.
Right.
And well, I like that idea.
Kept to more of that concept at Epcot, because Epcot was never really based around Disney rides.
Right.
So even if you kept going in that direction with it in that park specifically, then I wonder if that would give you more latitude to play around a little bit more.
But they're very actively working against that right now.
They truly are, right? Like, yeah. And that is the problem that people are having with it when they're throwing in Guardians of the Galaxy in Epcot. And you're like, that is an interesting.
Well, and Ratatouille is going in the France Pavilion.
So basically that Epcot that we knew was over. But Epcot's been suffering, you know, attendance issues, and they've tried all kinds of things with their ticket sales at that park just to keep it relevant as well. So yeah. That's a lot of pressure for them. So
do you think then that the answer is bring in IPs, or would you think that the idea is to create attractions that draw people in regardless?
Well, no, my idea, I would love it if they use their creativity and their money to try it.
Their Mr. Banks money.
Uh-huh. That would make me happy.
Yeah.
But like we talked about a hologram show that, you know, that would be something that would be really fun and brand new, that if they tried something like that and put it around a brand new concept, I think it could be a big hit.
Right. And they've talked about bringing
in... And they do need to expand their universe at some point in time anyway. That has to happen. And that is what made Coco so great and Frozen so great, is the fact that they were willing to take those chances on new adventures, kind of a thing. New adventures.
It is an adventure to go on into a new Disney movie without any, you know, it's not a two movie, it's not a sequel, it's not a remake. It's an adventure, and 9 times out of 10, whatever they produce is usually very good. Yeah. You know, I have no problem with their newer material.
And with that said, I totally want a Coco ride, so...
Oh.
I guess.
I wanted 101 Dalmatians ride.
Truly.
But you've never gotten one of them.
So that kind of circles back around to the original question that we actually had in the beginning was, are we on overload? Apparently not, because
have ones that we want.
More we want added.
So. No, I just think that the parks had so much more life in them, and there were things that were exclusive to only going to the parks.
Yeah.
I remember being a kid and being able to talk to my friends about things that are in the parks, and they're like, oh, that sounds crazy. I've never seen anything like that.
Right.
And it's like, you haven't, because it's only in the park, and it's a reason to go, you know? Whereas now, if you're like, oh, I wish I could ride Pirates, well, I can just watch all the movies then. There's like 9 of them now. So you might as well just watch one of the Pirates movies, you know?
Even though the movies don't really parallel the ride in any way.
The first one has a few nods to it.
Yeah, the first one was, and that is what everybody loved about it.
Right.
And it was based off of that that made the success of all of the other rides, is the fact that that they did so well on the first one. And so many of those tie-ins to the ride that
made
it so good.
Well, and it's because of the ride.
True.
It's because of their original idea that pushed that idea, you know? I'm not sure if Disneyland will be able to do much of that in the future.
Yeah, or Magic Kingdom.
They're very cramped, and there's very little space for them to be like, well, let's invest this much space in something that we're experimenting with.
But it would be fun if, like, Epcot stood for experimental prototype of tomorrow, basically. Mm-hmm. So if they use that as their experimenting ground, and that's what Epcot became, was the experimental of new parks, and then that's what they spawned off the creations for the other parks, like, that would be super fantastic.
Like, there's new things in Epcot that you can't see anywhere else.
And maybe they even kind of, even if they put the moniker of it, that this is an experiment prototype of tomorrow.
Right.
And so it's not good. It's not perfect. We're just trying new things.
Right.
You know, I think that would be fantastic.
Well,
be
great. Not to beat a dead horse here, but that's if you took that Innoventions building at Disneyland and made that into a presentation center for possible future attractions
okay, yeah.
at Disney, people would be over the moon about it.
True.
Because people are always clamoring for that new information and seeing what Disney might be thinking about in movies or attractions.
Yeah.
I think that would be a fun thing to go and sit through. Like, they could have a daily presentation on what's coming up in Disney, you know?
Yeah.
And that would be fun to watch.
And even if they did it on the cheap as an experiment and let the audience kind of vote in it, I think that the Epcot goer, I think most of those people would really enjoy that kind of a concept, because they're a little bit offbeat, the people that those of us that love Epcot
the Disney
so much.
Crazy people are just that, they're Disney crazy.
That's true.
You can you could make any kind of product and we will consume it. I don't know what it is about us, but yeah, if you could find a way to somehow find test audiences for things and see if the general public is on board with you or not, it would be a fun thing to do, like you said, in Epcot specifically, because it's supposed to be experimental. That's the first word in Epcot, right? Is experimental, you know?
Fun fact, kids.
Fun, obscure fact.
It's not that obscure, most people know.
Well, in case you didn't.
Now you do. But you had a really fun concept about pirates that you wanted to have happen.
Oh, okay. So, Disney, feel free to steal this idea. But I'm getting kind of tired of the movies being so random and
with
unfocused.
Pirates specifically.
The Pirates movies specifically. Yeah. I enjoyed the last one. I've enjoyed all of them, honestly. Right. But what I thought would be fun is if you wanted to do movies or even like a TV series. Disney hasn't done like a live action TV series in a long time that I know of. What would be fun is if you take the treasure room scene from the Disney parks. They have all sorts of crazy treasures in that room. Things right. that are shaped like gears and wheels and placards and paintings and all kinds of things in there. And it would be awesome if every episode or every movie or whatever, they would take one of those and build a story around something that's already existing in the ride. Yeah. And then people like us that have been on the ride a lot would be able to go, oh my gosh, I remember seeing that in the ride before.
Because that's how it is now. There's the trunk down on the end that you said.
The Aztec chest.
That actually was used in the movie.
Right.
And then they took that prop and put it into the ride later.
Right.
And so now that's actual part of the movie set there. And so it would be fun if that entire room.
It would be awesome. Mm-hmm. And I don't even care if it's an animated show, because it would probably be cheaper to have it be an animated show. Baby. But a live action pirate show, let's leave Jack and that to the movies. I think we're getting a little overloaded on Jack, but bring in some new pirate characters that we can love. Take them out of the ride. There are, I don't know how many animatronics are in that ride, but there's enough that you could find other people that you could use.
Right.
So give them a life, give them a story, and then you're not only making new content with the movies, but you're plussing the ride without having to do anything.
Right.
Which would be amazing.
Oh.
So I'm just saying, that treasure room is a treasure trove of ideas.
That would be the epitome of IP overload.
Oh my goodness. Right, we'll just beat you in the head with it. Find you a pirate treasure and smack you with it.
All of which were in favor of, so yeah.
So what do you guys think? Oh, my watch is talking to me. What the heck?
She's so bossy.
So if you have an IP that you would like to see a ride or attraction made out of, let us know. If you think there's too many and you agree with us, where would you like to see some prototype rides put in? What do you think would be fun to ride? But this has just been our musings on intellectual property attractions and whatnot. Until next time, follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger Disney point to the exit, and we'll see you then on the Obscure Disney Podcast.